lights on, does that mean I'm okay? Everybody hear me? Okay. I'm getting thumbs up from the back. Josh, you got a way to keep time? At 1 o'clock, if I'm not done, take your finger and do like this so I can wrap it up. See, I wanted everybody to laugh. You all smiling and laughing helps me be a little more comfortable. You know, if I can keep my eyes from leaking, that's a problem I have sometimes. My eyes want to leak. Do what? For my eyes not to leak? No, you're right. But just bear with me with that. You know, this past week, we're thinking about Thanksgiving and all the things we can be thankful for. And that's a little bit about what I'm going to talk about. And I was going to tell Stephen and Emily where they got the music together. They didn't know what I was speaking about. But all the songs that they sang today goes really good with what I'm going to speak about today. And I think that's just God and His infinite way of working stuff out, because He's in control of everything. And we have some different verses in that we're going to talk about. And we're going to start in Genesis, and we're actually going to get all the way to Revelation. But I don't think we'll be here to 1 o'clock. That's a joke to kind of help me a little bit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You praising You for who You are. And God, You are so wonderful and so great and so full of love and mercy and grace. And God, we're so blessed to be able to come to Your house today and, God, to worship You. And as we sang about just how great You are and Your love and Your mercy and grace, and God, we're just so overwhelmed with that. God, we thank You for that, the opportunity to come today. And Lord, I pray that today as I speak, Lord, take away my words and remove me out of the way, Lord. Just speak through me, give me Your words, not my words. Because, God, we know that that would just be just a big flop. And Lord, but with You, all things are possible. And God, I just pray that the folks here today, that the things I talk about and how it's moved me this past couple of weeks and how it's gave me a strength and encouragement. God, I pray that it'll do the same thing for the folks here today. We love them so much, and God, they mean so much to us. And just help us, Lord, to do Your will. And God, again, we thank You and praise You for who You are. Okay, I was thinking about talking, you know, this is the week, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. And, you know, you think, well, if you're going to speak the Sunday after Thanksgiving, you should do something about gratitude and Thanksgiving. You know, that kind of makes sense. I started to do some other stuff, but anyway. Let's start in the beginning. In Genesis 1, and I know if you all saw my outline, you might think I'm going way around. I have a bad reputation sometimes. If you ask me to what time it is, I'll tell you how to make a watch or go into the history of watchmaking. But when we get finished, I think everything will make sense and everything will fit, at least I hope it does, and in my brain it does. So anyway, but in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1 tells us. And Genesis, the whole chapter of Genesis, it tells us that God was creating the heavens and the earth and the oceans and the plant and the fish and the animals. And verse 26 and 27, it talks about creating man. Genesis 1:31, it says, "And God saw that everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So God created everything. And here He is in the last verse of this chapter, after He created everything, He says, "It's good. It's very good." You know, when we look around, you know, and we can see stuff, we can see His creation and how good it is. I mean, I'm a little bit easily entertained, I guess, or whatever. But I love going to the beach. One reason is at the beach, I'm not having to work. But anyway, one of the things I love at the beach, I can sit there and as the waves come up, it's like the waves are just praising God. You know, as they come, it's going, he is holy and he's righteous and he is good. It's just amazing. When I look out the ocean and I sit there and see how far it is, and, you know, I don't know how far it is to Europe, but if you're at the beach here, you look at it and you think, golly, these people living way over there. You know, it's just amazing at that. And then you go at nighttime. You go look up at the stars and the moon and just see all the stars and all its creation and just see how wonderful it is. You know, how beautiful it is. All these stars, and it says that the stars were just praising him. And Keith will remember when we were in the desert on guard duty at nighttime, over there you didn't have any clouds and you didn't have any artificial lights. But one of the prettiest things it was at night over there. Because, you know, here we look up and we see the sky and we see it black with a few little white specks. But over there, it was like it was all the little white specks with black in between it. So many thousands of stars. And we see the creation. And God created it in 6 days, and then he says here, it was good. It was very good. So we look at that, and then we think, well, why was everything created? If you're making notes for small group after here, this would be a good thing to write down. I didn't type stuff up or whatever. But anyway, why was everything created? You know, God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit from eternity past has been on the throne with the heavenly host praising him continuously. I mean, even before the creation, God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, and the heavenly host was praising him. So why was it created? Well, if we look for answers, we can always go to the Word of God and get our answers. If you want to turn to Galatians 1:16, that's not Galatians. I always get confused. It's Galatians, G-O, or C-O-L. And I'll give you just a second to find it, because it's a small book in the New Testament, and it's a little hard to find sometimes. But Galatians 1:16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So that answers our question. Everything's created by God and for him. Everything points to God. Everything points to Christ. And, you know, you think of that, we are created for God. He created us for him. We're to praise him. And you think, well, how do we do that? You know, how do we do this? What does this mean? We're created for him and by him. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10:31. Here it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So here he's telling us whatever we do, do for the glory of God. It says, even when we eat and when we drink, we need to do it for the glory of God. I might get in a little trouble here, but I'm going to eat. This is a Reese cup. How many of y'all like Reese cups? Amen. This is so good. You taste it, you taste the chocolate, and bite down into it. Mmm, that peanut butter. Man. Yeah, me, it's good. Mmm. That is so good. You know, God, I can still taste it. I can still taste it. I know that may seem a little silly, but God says that whatever we do, eat or drink or whatever we do, do it to the glory of God. Anybody ever thought about eating to the glory of God? You know, when we had COVID here a while back, people lost their taste. You know, they couldn't taste anything. You know, what a blessing it is that we can actually taste. Have you ever thought of that as a way, something to thank God for? Is we have taste buds. You know, he could have created us without taste buds. But what a blessing it is that he created. He could have created us to where instead of getting nutrition, instead of eating this wonderful food that we've had this past week, and I know there's a lot of fantastic cooks in here because I've ate most of y'all's cooking, you know, and that wonderful taste, instead of doing that, he could have created us, we just go stick our foot down in the dirt for a little while and get nutrition. But no, he's so great and loves us so much, he created us before we had taste buds and we could taste it. You know, last week, I was deer hunting and I was looking, sitting up there on the tree stand. I hate to admit this, I was sitting up there thinking, Charlie, don't hold this offense to me on my deer hunting ability, but I was sitting up there thinking about this, what I was talking about, how good God was and how much He blessed me and all this kind of stuff. My eyes started leaking again, and here come a deer come through there, and here I'm trying to get myself straight out to where I can see. But anyway, he went in the bushes and I didn't get to see it. But, I just had gotten overwhelmed with that because of how good God is. And, you know, we're talking about the taste buds and stuff, but look how great God has blessed us. I was thinking about the animals and, you know, the animals, the way they get together. There's about a week of the year that the does and the bucks are together for creation. That's about all I'm going to say, but that's the way it is. You know, they're together for about a week, and then after that, they're just wherever. When they get, the little deer get about a year old, they kick them out. Yeah. Yeah, well, the thing is, I know what you're saying, but when you think about it, look at how great God has. He's gave us relationships, you know, as a picture of us. He has us to where He created marriage. He created a way for us to love somebody for our life and somebody that loves us for our life. You know, that we do that, we pour that life and we share that life together and that love over our lifetime instead of 1 week a year. And then the great thing He gave us that, even besides that, how we love our kids. You know, we love our kids and our kids love us. What a great blessing that is. And then you get to thinking about it. What a great blessing it is. They were smiling at the grandkids. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What a blessing to feel that love when they come up and hug you. Love you, Pop. What a blessing. What a blessing that is that we share that love. So He gives us these relationships, and, you know, He tells us to do everything for the glory of God. He says, invest in the kingdom and live for His glory of God. God is good. We are created by Him and for Him. So I've talked a little bit about God being good, but then you might ask the question, well, what about when life is hard? And life is hard sometimes. We have sickness sometimes. We have struggles. We have job struggles and family struggles. Well, what do we do then? God is good, but what about struggles? 2 Corinthians 4:15-17 tells us, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. That word redound, I had to look it up. It means contribute greatly. So I'm going to read this again. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through thanksgiving of many, contribute greatly to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. So when the hard times come and the struggles come, we need to remember, God's still God. God is still good. And, you know, sometimes we have a saying when stuff is kind of whatever, you know, we get really upset and anxious about stuff. There's nobody in heaven. If you watch the news or whatever, you see all this terrible stuff. But there ain't nobody in heaven up there wringing their hands. You know, that's a human thing. There's nobody up there wringing their hands. You know, we need to continue, when times are hard, to rejoice in the pain. live for the glory of God and to praise Him. And we need to always praise Him always. Psalm 22:3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." I've heard this quoted a lot of times. It says that God inhabits the praises of His people. You know, we need to always be praising Him. And I got to thinking about that verse, God inhabits the praises of His people. If that's the case, who inhabits the complaining and the bickering of His people? Anybody ever thought about that? That might be a good question to ask for small group. If God inhabits the praises of His people, who inhabits all the complaining and bickering of His people? You ever think about that? It's not God. It's Satan. And then something else, I was thinking about this too when we was talking about praising God always. And I told Stephen about this the other night. We was talking. You know, Satan was the praise leader before he fell when he was in heaven. His job was the praise leader. He was the choir director, so to speak, the praise leader. But you know something? That's a job he can never have again. When he fell and he rebelled against God, that's a job he can never have again. He can't do that, you know. So when we're praising God, we're taking over a job that he lost and he can't ever get back. And in my mind, this is one of those things that you could call it a deology. We'd have to do some studying to see where it comes from the Word. But in my mind, that's us being on offense to Satan when we're praising God. Because we're doing a job that he had and he lost and he can never have again. We're kind of sticking it to him a little bit. So I've talked a little bit here about the good and God being good, and God is good. He always is good. But then there's something else you think about. If God is good, why is there bad in the world? If God is good and He created everything and He said everything He did, why is there bad in the world? Well, Adam and Eve, they decided to live for themselves instead of for God. And that's where sin entered the creation. You know, God had created everything for good, but Adam and Eve, they want to live for themselves. So that creates a problem. God's good. He created everything good. And now here sin is in the world. Romans 3:23 tells us we have a problem. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." What does all mean? Somebody. All. Does that include us? That includes everybody. All means all. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And you know, God created everything good, but sin comes into the world, and God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. But because there's sin, for Him to be righteous and just, He has to punish sin. He has to punish that. So that creates another thing. And He knows how to do that. Let's look at, I told you we was going all the way to Revelation. Genesis to Revelation in one lesson. Revelation 20:10. "And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they were tormented day and night forever and ever." So because of sin, God made this place with fire and sulfur for the beast and the prophets to go there because of sin. But you say, well, we're not demons and we're not false prophets. What about humans? You go on to verse 20, chapter 20, verse 15. And it says, "If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown in the lake of fire." So now there's sin in the world. God created everything and everything was good. There's sin in the world. And now He's got a place to punish sin, we got a big problem. We got an eternal problem. But God has a solution. He has a solution. And His solution, I think, is the number one reason we should be thankful. I think it's the number one reason that we need to praise God. I think it's the number one reason that we need to live for the glory of God. Because God has a solution to our plight. Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. Says, "For while we were weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though for a good person one might dare to die. But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He's got to punish sin, and Jesus died for us. I don't see Emily in here. Okay. Well, I don't have... Emily's not here. I don't have a son, but I got the next best thing. Jared, you stand up just a second. My son. Jesus sent His son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Jesus was beaten. He was spat at. He was cursed. He was crucified. And the whole time, God loved Him so much that He sent His Son. You can sit down if you want to. I don't mean to put you on the spot too bad. The love and the mercy and grace that He sent His Son to die for us. And they spat on Him and they cursed Him. And, you know, they're coming there and they're hollering, crucify Him, kill Him, kill Him. God, our Heavenly Father, I don't know, I can't even understand that love and that mercy and grace. You know, somebody come to do that with one of my kids? I mean, I'm trying to get us to understand just that love and mercy and grace to do it with one of your kids. And He still allowed that to happen because He loved us and He showed us that much love, grace, and mercy. It's just amazing to me. So, okay, we have God is good. Sin enters in. And sin has to be punished. Jesus dies on the cross for salvation. And then now what do we do? In Acts chapter 2, if you all want to turn there, to Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 37 through 41. And in Acts chapter 2, this is it right after Pentecost, and Peter is preaching. He's preaching the gospel in chapter 2. But he gets to verses 37 through 41, he says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." Peter's been preaching the gospel, and the people were cut to the heart. He said to Peter and the rest of the people, "Brothers, what shall we do?" He had preached the gospel to them and told them they had a sin problem. And these people here are asking, says, "What do we do?" Their heart was cut. They knew that they had a problem. Peter answers to them and says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Save yourself from this crooked generation so that those that..." Go down to verse 40, I'm sorry. "So that those who received this word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls." So they had a problem. They asked Peter what to do, and Peter tells them, "Hey, we need to repent." You know, John said to repent. Jesus said to repent. Peter says to repent. Evidently, that word repent is important. You know, I mean, repent. So they need to repent, and that's turning from self, turning to Christ. And here, he says to repent and be baptized. And the baptism was symbolic to dying to itself and walking in Christ, with Christ. There's a lot of countries now where people, when they accept Christ and they're baptized, they get a death sentence. In India, China, or whatever, because they're showing the world that they are following Christ. Well, even Jesus explains what this word repent means. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 says, "If anyone come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would lose his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." Repent is to follow. Repent is not saying a prayer. Repent is not signing a card. Repent is not joining the church. Repent is not asking Jesus into your heart. Repent is following. Repent is saying, "I'm done with me. I'm all in for Jesus." The last time I spoke, I got teased a little bit, but it was all in good fun about my props. How many of you know what this is? Somebody should shout it out. A jack and a lug wrench, okay? Why do we need a jack and a lug wrench? You won't have it in your car. I bought a truck a while back, a few years ago, and I was getting ready to go on a trip, and I thought, you know, I might ought to look and see if it's got a jack on it, because it was going to be pulling the trailer. And I thought, and it didn't have a jack, so I went and bought a jack and a lug wrench, okay? How many of y'all even know where the jack is located in your car? About half. How many of you even care? How many of you even know that if you have a jack or not in your car? Okay? Some of us do what? You know how to use the phone. Okay, that's good enough. But you know the thing about it is, a jack in your car, you know, it's one of those things, if we're going on a trip, we like to know we've got it in there. You know, just in case. You have it just in case. That's what it is. How many of you, after our service day, is going to go home and get your jack out and spend time with it? You know, say, "I'm thankful I've got a jack." Most of us don't even think nothing about it. I'd say for the vast majority of us, nobody in here has thought about the jack in their vehicle in months. Am I right? Has anybody thought about the jack in their car in the last few months? In their lug wrench? You just put it in the car and you take it for granted. But you have a flat tire. What's the first thing you want? A jack and a lug wrench. A spare tire, yeah. But that when you need it, that's what you want. You want to make sure you got a jack and a lug wrench when you need it. When you don't need it, it can be in the car. The problem is, a lot of people, a lot of American Christianity, treat Jesus like a jack and a lug wrench. They want him in the car as they're traveling down life's highway, in case there's an emergency. They want him there in case there's an emergency. In case they need him, they want him there. But the rest of the time, don't even think about it. Don't even know where it's at. Don't spend time with it. Don't take it for a trip. We treat Jesus a lot of times like a jack in a car. We want him there in case there's a problem. But you know what repentance is? Repentance is when we have the keys and we give them to Jesus. We say, "I'm going to go wherever you want to go. I'm going to follow you. If it's a rough road, I'm with you. Wherever you go, I'm going. If you want to stop somewhere, I'm stopping. I'm following you, Jesus. Here's the keys to the car. I'm with you. It ain't about me. I'm dying to myself. Whichever way you want to get there, if you want to take the interstate, if you want to take the old country road, the winding road, if you want to put it in four-wheel drive and go through the woods, Jesus, you're driving. I'm with you." That's what repentance is. That's what we need to do. We need to give Jesus the keys to go where he goes, and to follow him. Okay. See, I lied. We're not going to be here till 1 o'clock. For a review, for one of you in my Sunday school class, I always like to do a little review, and then that way if I left something out, you'd get to hear it at least one time if I left it out. Number one, we were created by Him and for Him, for God's glory. Number two, everything we do should be for God's glory. It says whether we eat or drink or whatever, we should do it for God's glory. Number three, we are to praise Him and thank Him in all circumstances. I know, you know, I talked about a few little things that might be a little silly, like how good a Reese's Cup tastes, but just think of how great God is. All the I mean, He lets us have pecan pie and vanilla ice cream. He could have created us, like I say, to go stick our feet in dirt for nutrients. But all the different flavors, just so many wonderful things to praise Him for. And then, not lastly, but we need to repent and follow Him. We need to give Him the keys. He doesn't need to be the jack. Being the jack, we're not repentant. We're not where we need to be. We need to say to ourselves, I'm done with me. I'm all in for Jesus. Give Him the keys. Do y'all want to come? Thank you all. If anybody wants to come down and pray, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you can come down. Somebody will pray with you, or somebody wants to come and just say, you know, God, I'm just so thankful. I want to come and thank you and praise you. For whatever reason, y'all are welcome to come.
right. So don't forget about small groups tonight. Dale and Kelly, I know that we're having your all's. Where's Danny? Are y'all having? So everyone's meeting at Dale's house tonight. So if y'all don't know where that is, get with somebody. We can get you there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we thank you and praise you so much for the word that you have given to us this morning. And we thank you for your salvation and forgiveness. And God, I ask today that we would go through this week and that we would live with you in the driver's seat instead of ourselves. And let us to follow your word and the way that you would have us to live our lives so that we can grow closer to know you better in each and every way. We praise you again and thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had together this morning. And in Jesus Christ's holy name I pray. Amen.